This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The California Connection is back, baby! And we are here on a Wednesday night to chat AEW Dynamite. And we are coming off of what feels like a never-ending cycle of wrestling shows, Reg. I feel like my life has been wrestling show, airplane, post-show. Airplane, wrestling show, post show. I don't even know how to function anymore properly. How are you, Reg?
I'm doing pretty well, Denise. I'm still very exhausted after our week in Chicago or days in Chicago or whatever that was in Chicago. It was very exhausting, but I'm back in Oakland, California. I thought tonight's episode of Dynamite was pretty well a follow-up to All Out. So yeah, I'm ready to get into it.
Yeah, same. You know, it was one of those things where, like, the last time we were here, we were breaking down the AEW All Out card because a lot of people were kind of down on it. They didn't really think that it was a card that was all that, you know, it wasn't all that in a bag of chips, right? But it actually ended up being a really good show that got a lot of favorable feedback. And you and I, Reg, we were in the crowd, man. And it was very fun to not only be in that building and to get to experience the crowd reactions for a lot of the different stuff that they did on the show, like with the meat chants, with the with the anti CM Punk, pro Young Buck chants, and back and forth, all of everything that went down. And it was just back to back good action.
Yeah, Denise, you know, we go to a lot of wrestling shows and it's rare that the crowd is hot all the way through the main event. And this show, by the time main event of Orange and Jon Moxley came, they were still just as hot as the beginning of the show. And that's rare. And I was just like sitting there thinking like, wow, this is crazy. But as Phil would say, it's Chicago. They're a wrestling town. They love professional wrestling. I got to see it with my eyes and hear it with my ears. And like, yeah, it's real.
And how many times haven't we been like, have they burnt out the Chicago market already? Have they burnt out the Chicago market? Every time they announce a new show in Chicago,
Reg, I'm like, time.
Oh, they got to stop with this, right?
And then every single time it never fails. I'm like, oh, Chicago again, here we go. But then they show like that and they show up and I'm like, oh, I get it. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, it was good stuff, man. Like, overall, I had a fun weekend. I do want to take a second and talk about StarCast because it was my first ever StarCast. And then Grapsody got to go on stage. Man, what was that experience like for you to get to experience that with Will and with Phil and just to have that moment?
Denise, I still haven't taken it all the way in. It's been amazing, honestly. The whole weekend, people just coming up to us being like, they love Grapsody. They love what Grapsody does, what it represents. Anything that they said positive, it just like blows my mind that it happens. Then we get to the show and like, I had never thought that we would get to being at StarCast. I remember listening to Conrad's shows back in the day. Back in the day, saying back in the day sounds funny when it's just like a few years ago. But remember listening to Conrad's shows and them announcing StarCast and like, that's a cool concept. And then like, we're on StarCast. And so we're up there on stage. It's me, Will, and Phil. And it's just like, feels surreal. You guys are in the crowd and people are watching online. It just, everything felt surreal. And I'm still really just blown away by everything that happened. And shout out to everybody for representing, always supporting here on Denise's show, on Grapsody, any podcast. Just feels amazing. Denise was on stage, just like I said. She tried to say she wasn't going to be on stage, but
you guys,
yeah, right,
you
brother.
You put me on the spot, man. I was sitting there chilling. Gotcha. I was like relaxing.
Denise was kicking. I was like, oh, she got her feet kicked up. She's very relaxed out there. Let's get her.
I looked like I was on my couch. I was like arms stretched out, legs stretched out. I was vibing. I was having a good time. And then the second Will goes, oh, we have like a couple minutes left. And he's like, I need to bring up somebody. And I was like, God.
Yes, God, I was like, I knew exactly what's happening here.
He goes, oh, she doesn't even know that I'm doing this. And I'm like, oh, I know. And then pulls me on the spot. And then it was funny because that walk from my seat to the stairs to the stage felt like an eternity. So at one point, I felt the need, like I had to run. So if you saw me, I was like, I started running.
It's not that far, Denise.
I started running, and the next thing you know, I'm like doing this, and I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Like, what?
It was
this?
Not that far. You did not have to celebrate. You didn't have to run. None of this needed to happen.
All.
Mm-hmm. I get it though.
But it was funny though. It was a good time just to be up on the stage with you guys, and a really cool experience. So anyways, for everybody who was there, for everybody who mm-hmm. saw that, thank you guys so much. That was a lot of fun. All right, so let's get into AEW Dynamite and what went down here today. So we got a couple of super chats, so I'm gonna kick it off with our first one that we got here from my good friend Sheldon Jackson.
Thanks, Sheldon
Jackson sends in a very generous super chat saying, I'm hoping Adam turns heel, wins the AEW world title, then makes a faction called the Undisputed Kingdom. Cole as AEW world champion, Red Dragon going for AEW tag, Taven Bennett Ring of Honor tag team titles, and Roddy either an AEW mid-card or Ring of Honor title. Well, Sheldon put a lot of thought into this. Reg, what do you think of Sheldon's pitch, Sheldon's idea? Is this something you would be intrigued in?
You know, Sheldon, you really got your Booker hats on over here, and I can appreciate it. You're tying a lot of stories in over here if we do that. I think that the way that they're setting up everybody, especially with things that happen here on this episode, I'd be into it, man. I think Adam Cole as heel is more, and has always been more interesting to me because of the things he did in Ring of Honor and in NXT. So seeing him kind of go back to that would be pretty dope. But I mean, the stuff that he's doing with MJF, I think they're trying to keep this going along. So I don't know, but I think it's a pretty good idea that Sheldon Jackson has here.
Dude, they just got the button-ups now. Did you see MJF go out with the button-ups? And then they were also promoting the button-ups up in the corner. I'm looking at this and I'm going, look at AEW. They're milking this thing, man. Money.
You got to. You got to.
Yeah. And see, here's the thing. Like, I would love to see Adam turn heel. And I feel like maybe at some point it might happen. We've been predicting this for a while, actually. Yeah. Like, we didn't know what direction they were going to go in, right? But here's the thing. I agree with you. I feel like right now they're just doing so much with him and MJF where you still don't necessarily want to see that end. And I mentioned this last week, but I'm finally on board with Roderick Strong. And now I'm liking that every week when he comes out, he's yelling Adam. I'm like
how
are
you feeling
thing.
About it this week, Denise? I know we're going to get into it. How are you feeling about it today? Because they had a video package that was very, very interesting here today.
I liked what they did here today. And you know what? Let's talk about it right now since we're here already with this. So I'm going to start off. I'm just going to talk about the Roderick Strong stuff and then we'll talk later on about all the MJF stuff and everything. But we have, of course, Roderick Strong included himself in this tournament. He was the first person that was announced for the Grand Slam World Title Eliminator quarterfinal. tournament. And we had the quarterfinal today with him versus Trent Beretta. But prior to this, we had a video package that felt like we were going down the road, right? And then all of a sudden, we just like stop in the car, made a U-turn, and we're going back a totally different direction. We're going through a little roundabout. I have no idea, but Roderick Strong took this an entirely different direction where he's sitting there and he's looking all serious with the kingdom. And it's funny because I've screenshotted it, right? So he has his hands like side by side. It looked like he had his hands on their legs.
That's what I thought too.
There, he didn't though. Someone pointed it out on Twitter. His arms were actually on the chair. If you go back and look at the picture, I'll pull it up in just a second, but he has his hands on the actual chair, not their legs.
Yeah, I was like, man, Roderick Strong is very comfortable. I'm interested. I don't know where they're going with this, but all right, let's do it.
Yeah, and then afterwards, he starts talking about his childhood, and he starts talking about how his parents were super problematic. I did not know any of this, and I'm thinking, why is he bringing this all
up? Why is he telling us this, Denise?
Reg, what's your theory on this? Because I truly do not know.
To build sympathy, to know that you should be mad at Adam Cole. Because at the end, he's like, and Adam knew all of this, Denise. I can't believe he would do this to me, knowing that I've been through this with my parents growing up. I think it's to build sympathy, but did you have more sympathy after this video?
No, I'm like, why are you throwing your parents underneath the bus here?
He's like, my dad was a drunk. I couldn't do anything. Didn't play baseball. My mom was on drugs. I'm like, yo, whoa, hold on a minute. I thought we were just talking about wrestling, bro. What happened here?
Right. Okay. Because here's the thing. Like, I remember, you know, when, for example, a recent example that where we saw like a real family story being shown and used in a storyline was with Gigi Dolin over on NXT, where she talked about her mother and she brought in her brother and all of this. Right. Mm-hmm. But that one made sense. It made sense with the way that they brought it in, that it incorporated it into the story. Right. This one just felt like totally out of nowhere. I'm just going to bring up my parents and bury how shitty they were and all of this. And we get pictures and everything. And I'm going, oh, boy.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking this is one of those things where, you know, you've seen people that want attention. They have to bring up a sob story. Okay, so Roderick Strong wants attention and he brings up the sob story. And here's the photo. Take a closer look at that. Doesn't it look?
It does. Especially if you just glance, you're like, yo, they are together in this picture right here. But what, why though? I don't understand what happened here. Why is Roderick Strong all of a sudden in a therapy session? And like Denise says, I don't want this. I don't want this.
I'm finding it hilarious. Again, it was a couple weeks ago, I was finding Roderick Strong super cringe. Now I love it. I'm all here. He came out and he had the Neck Strong t-shirt. I might buy it.
I don't know. I don't know if you should wear a Neck Strong shirt, Denise.
Wait.
To each their own?
Does it sound bad? Neck Strong. Neck Strong. Because
Do you want to wear a shirt that says Neck Strong on it?
Well, I mean, it's a dumb shirt.
Do you know what neck is? Neck isn't just.
Oh, you mean like necking?
Like when people say, like, she gave me some neck, do you like.
You mean a blowjob?
Not so much, but yes.
Okay, so yeah, right? Because I thought necking, another word for necking was like necking, but that's just like making out. I'm like, that's not too hard. That's harmless.
There's some mouths and some tongues involved, so yeah. I guess all right.
Okay.
Do you want to have the Neck shirt now?
No, I'm not going to get the Neck Strong shirt anymore. Because at first I thought, oh, it's funny because of neck health and his last name is Strong and he wants a strong neck. So Neck Strong, that's the way that I saw this thing play out.
I mean, you could think that, but most people are going to be thinking she has strong neck. And I don't really know if that's really the position you're going to take. What happened here? You guys. I want to have a wholesome PG podcast. And me out here talking about necks, strong neck.
Shit, I'm crying.
Oh my God, guys.
So I was trying to hold in my laughter and then my eyebrows started twitching. And I don't know, did you see that? Did that come out on camera? No,
we're gonna have to rewind the tape. Whew, you guys.
Oh shit.
Civilized, okay? Civilized. I'm just trying to help, honestly. That's all this is. Like, you see Denise in the Neck Strong show, you're like, what does that mean?
Look at this. I did my makeup right before the show and look at it now. My eyelashes are up on one side and they're down on the other side now because they're all watery. And I'm just going to have to press on with the show. But all right. So I'm not buying the Neck Strong t-shirt. It's not happening, guys. Right. It's not happening. All right. Okay. Oh, God. All right. So I don't even know where we're at anymore with this.
Roderick Strong, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shelton Jackson got his money's worth on his super chat.
He got us all the way there.
All right, let's go ahead and bring up some more here because we got quite a bit. This one's from Grapple Geekery, who says, between All Out and tonight's Dynamite, we had some of the best vibes I felt in AEW in a while. Both crowds were on fire and so were the wrestlers. Now, of course, we're coming off of a week that had some big freaking news, and that was that AEW fired CM Punk and things got very, very ugly very fast. And you and I, Reg, we were sitting there when Tony Khan came out and addressed the crowd in Collision, and we were both looking at each other like, what the hell is going on right now? The whole time I was recording and I was just holding my face because I could not fathom what was happening. But anyways, it feels though that coming out of All Out, because all of the matches were good, being in that media scrum, everybody felt like they were in a really good mood. Today's show, it honestly looked like it was smooth sailing. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anything that gave me any sort of indication that would make me go, oh, things are going down the drain. Nothing at all, especially, well, obviously not on camera or anything like that.
Yeah, no, it definitely felt like they, after that speech, like the teams rallied because All Out was an excellent pay-per-view. Everybody felt like they had a point to prove as wrestlers and as a company. And then it felt like that same type of vibe here again of like, all right, you guys, they're talking all this other backstage drama stuff. Let's show them on camera, on TV, on Dynamite, what we're all about. And that's what it felt like.
Right. Roberto Arsenal sends in a super chat saying, in a night where MJF, Tony Storm, Samoa Joe, and Ricky Starks cut great promos, Swerve might have had the best promo out of all. And that is saying a lot. Dude, I cannot wait to get into Ricky Starks' promo, but also Swerve's, Tony Storm, Samoa Joe. Shit, there's actually a lot that went down in terms of promo work, because what we're seeing right now is we're seeing, not only are we getting the fallout from All Out, but we're also starting to see some new directions and some new things go down, especially of course with Hangman Page and Swerve Strickland, which we'll talk about in just a second. Johnny sends in a super chat saying, I heard CM Punk got a job at Mindy's Bakery. Hey, if you want to go work at a bakery, I could only find that very relaxing. You know, that's my dream. That's one of my dreams, except I don't know how to bake, but I've always wanted to own my own bakery.
I mean, somebody could show you on your way to doing the bakery. And it's pretty, like, soothing. You're up early before everybody is baking. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And Rag sends in a super chat saying, not a fan at all of tournaments, but not at all a fan of tournaments when almost all the contenders lost their singles matches. Such a rich roster books some heavy hitters. I feel like, for the most part, every time AEW has recently done a tournament, it kind of always gets shit on. And do you remember the tag team one where we all knew it was going to be MJF, Adam Cole, and then like nobody cared about anything else?
Yeah, I was going to say legit just a week or two ago, I heard a bunch of people saying another tournament, a Ring of Honor feels like there's a tournament every week. So yeah, I understand that, but it's always like the end goal, but I get it, you guys. It always seems like they just like draw names out of a hat when it's like, why didn't you book this guy? Why don't you just have these guys here? But they always make it work in the end.
Eloquent sends in a super chat saying, never seen MJF get cooked on the mic like this.
Small Joe.
Reggie Simmons sends in a very generous super chat saying, shout out to the Cali Connection. Got a chance to meet Reg at All Out. He's just as cool in person. Have a great show, fam. Damn, I'm bummed out I didn't get to meet Reggie Simmons.
Yeah, shout out to Reggie Simmons. It was like right after All Out was out, I was walking out and he came up to me and he introduced himself and I was like, yo, Reggie Simmons, I appreciate everything. Always here in like all the podcasts. That was super dope and amazing to meet Reggie Simmons and everybody that was out there at all the events this weekend. So shout out to y'all, man. Y'all are so cool.
Wyatt Cox says, did you watch the Sunset Boulevard trailer, Denise? He has sent this to me three times already, and both three times I forget to watch it. Jesus.
Come on.
I know, I'm the worst, honestly. Denise. This happened last time too. Someone was sending me stuff and I kept forgetting to watch it, and I still keep forgetting. But to be fair, man, I've been going up and down, and there's just been so much happening that I haven't even had the time to do so. So Wyatt Cox, I know, shaking my damn head. Disappointing right now. Taylor Cannon says, what's up, Denise and Reg? I hope you're doing well. Hey, Reg, I hope you enjoyed your time in Chicago. It's a great city, except in winter.
Yeah, no, I loved it. I had a great time. I ate some pizza. I ate a hot dog. I ate some wet sandwich. Harold's, though, the chicken, magnifique, amazing. I've been thinking about it every day since I had it. Dream is just chicken in my brain, stereotype going on in my brain, but amazing chicken out there. And yes, Chicago was amazing. One of the days was insanely hot. I sweated to death. But other than that, beautiful city, great time.
You know, it's funny that you were living up to your stereotype, but so was I.
Yeah.
I had Mexican twice. I mean, in Chicago.
They have bomb-ass Mexican food there too, so I get it. Yeah.
I went to a place called El Azteca. Oh my God, it was so good. They had, I had like some great quesadillas. I don't know why, but I was in the mood for quesadillas. And I got quesadillas 2 days in a row. For some reason, that's all I was craving in Chicago. Mm-hmm. But I had the best time, man. I had the best time. Mr. Acosta says, MJF and Samoa Joe is a bit long in the insults during the half. The first half of the promo felt a little childish, but once MJF started story time, I was sold. And this is from Mr. Acosta. Tyrone Kidd says, MJF Joe almost gave me Kurt Joe vibes. Interesting.
Ah, okay.
Grapple Geekery says, Denise is too pure for this world. John Collins says, do either of you think AEW or WWE would go strictly to streaming pay TV so that they can have more mature storylines and language and not be so kiddish? Well, not right now, only because there's still money in, you know, them getting those cable deals. And let's not talk about, you know, obviously we know that WWE got their massive like $1 billion deal when they signed with Fox and did all of that. That's a huge amount of money.
Yeah, John, they just get so much money from like advertisement and commercials that I couldn't see it anytime soon.
And then Luke Thornton sent in two super chats, one of which has a message saying, next AEW unboxing video needs a next drop. Damn, AEW merch would do me dirty like
come
that.
Come on, come through, AEW merch.
Sheldon Jackson says, Reg, just a heads up, watch out for Denise Hollywood Pepsi Salcedo. She's cold-hearted like Hook. I think Reg already knew that.
Yeah, I did. It's not new news.
DKC returns as Denise and Reg. I've been missing out. Well, welcome.
Be out here every Wednesday.
All right. And I'm just going to catch up with everything and then we'll get going. All right. Amir F says, now I'm hoping that they send you a Next Strong shirt for your next All Elite Crate unboxing. Damn. I hope no one from AEW merch is watching right now because they're going to do me dirty and send me a sticker, a t-shirt, a signed 8x10 with Roderick Strong.
All of it. Send all of it, please.
Shamar says they would not let Swerve cut a promo like that over there, considering the creative team that was Grapsody cutting a promo.
I mean, points are made. I didn't say it, but Shamar did.
And then Chi-Town Spur says Harold's over Uncle Remus.
I've never had Uncle Remus, but I know Harold's goes insane, so love it.
And then we got Crisis, Christic Angel, who says, who do you think New Japan Pro Wrestling will send to WrestleDream? I don't know, but this was something that Tony basically just said, that he has hopes that there's going to be New Japan talent there. I believe in the follow-up press scrum, he said he had already spoken to them, right?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know exactly what was said during that because I ran out before the scrums, but I don't know, man. Isn't there something about there's a New Japan show or there's something going on at the same time or there's some kind of cool things going on? I'd like to see all the big dolls. I like to see Okada. I like to see Ospreay. I like to see Naito. So hopefully, you know, those guys, anybody would be cool, though. I mean, do you think, Denise, that it's going to be kind of like the same format as Forbidden Door?
That's what I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be the same format as Forbidden Door or if they're just going to have like a couple of matches with some like Japanese talent. I don't know.
Right.
I'm thinking that honestly, this to me feels like it's going to be a primarily AEW show instead of, you know, 50-50 with New Japan and AEW.
Right.
And then I'm assuming that they're going to have like, you know, just a couple of talent, you know, from New Japan, just like spread out throughout the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, what's that going to look like?
Because then wouldn't that take away from Forbidden Door?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, are we doing two Forbidden Doors? That's going to be kind of weird to do. Like, yeah, I honestly don't have any idea what's going to go on here.
All right, well, we'll find out. We're not too far away from WrestleDream. That is October 1st. All right, so let's get to this. I want to kick things off with the Orange Cassidy promo. So Orange Cassidy recently lost the AEW International title to Jon Moxley in the main event. So he comes out, he opens up the show, and he basically says, no matter what, I'm going to be out here, whether or not I got a championship. And before he starts walking out, Jon Moxley's music hits, and Orange Cassidy is standing there watching as Jon Moxley comes out, as AR Fox comes out, and we see Jon Moxley end up having his first defense of the AEW International Championship against AR Fox. And even though AR Fox got a little bit of offense, for Jon Moxley got himself a nice, clean, clear victory. What did you make of the Orange Cassidy promo? What do you think is next for Orange Cassidy? And what'd you think of basically what happened here?
I thought that the promo was super strong. Orange Cassidy has had a couple weeks now, very strong promos, starting with that one he did after the match to right before All Out.
Last week.
Last week. Very strong promo. Did another one here. Them kind of still teasing that Moxley is kind of looming over the back of him, I thought was really strong. Them tying in the Darby Allin coming out with AR Fox. They used to team together. They could maybe be doing something here in the future. Orange Cassidy next. That's pretty interesting because I think there's a really way to tie him into a Max MJF feud somewhere here before they get to like the end of the year, where I think they should wrap up with MJF and Kenny Omega. But I think before then they could somehow tie that in one way, because I think Orange Cassidy deserves it, earning his way with this amazing title run that he had. So let's do something like that. The match was awesome too. Moxley is insane. He's everybody's going to keep telling him to take a vacation, but he's never going to take a vacation because he loves this shit. And he's seen him doing it here. He's back at full force, just trying to murder people, carrying his belt, being happy. But AR Fox got to do his thing. Amazing kickflip moonsault here and there. I thought it was a super strong way to start the show.
Yeah, it definitely was. And like, I think my thing here is, when I was watching this match, because you and I had different predictions going into Orange Cassidy, John Moxley, I had made my case for wanting Orange Cassidy to win. And you were like, basically, no, it's going to be John Moxley, right? Mm-hmm. And during this match, man, I feel like in the crowd, you felt that people were ready to erupt had Orange Cassidy won. And I honestly kind of felt like the moment was robbed. As much as I love, as much as I love both guys, and I still think that because of the way that they freaking did this match, Orange Cassidy, just like Ricky Starks, they both lost, but they both won in that loss, right? And so that was very clear. But I did truly feel when John Moxley won, maybe this is just me thing, but I didn't feel as like, afterwards. I really didn't. I was like, oh man, that was nice, but damn, I really wanted Orange Cassidy to win. I really did want to see that moment. And I feel like there were certain moments in the crowd where the crowd collectively kind of felt that way too.
Yeah, I think, that exactly what you said is exactly what they were going for. Of like, man, Orange Cassidy has been doing it. This is like, if he really caps it off here with John Moxley, that'll be the way. But oh, nope. John Moxley's the ace of AEW, a monster. You can't get past him. He was going to destroy you. Here he is destroying you. Now he's the champion, because of course Mox is. He's amazing. So that's kind of how I felt. But I did feel like exactly your way. Most of the crowd was like, we kind of want to see Orange Cassidy crown the big, you know, the end of his thing of like beating John Moxley is a way to really cap it off. And I think the result, though, was really what should have happened.
Yeah, I get you on that one. And the other thing that we saw after this, though, is that Nick Wayne was up on the Tron and he's confronted by Christian Cage. And we saw Christian Cage also, you know, throwing his shots at Collision during Collision and all of that. But he basically offers to be Nick Wayne's mentor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that he should say yes?
No, of course not. It's Nick Wayne. I think if there was someone that I could see as with the future as a big heel, then yeah, go for it. But Nick Wayne's a nice little young boy that's on his way to the top, just going to be good and not try to, you know, screw people over. And Christian's not the one to help you out to the top. You see what he did for Jungle Boy. He's taking Luchasaurus's belt. Every time somebody mentions the belt, he says that it's his. You can't be under that person.
Definitely not. All right, let's get into the women's match here today, because this one was very freaking good. We had Chris Statlander. I love it. When the second you thought of it, you're like, yeah. Mm. So open challenge for the TBS championship. We had Emi Sakura versus Chris Statlander. And let me tell you guys, this was a very nice, aggressive match. We at one point see Emi Sakura do a crossbody onto Chris Statlander, throws her out to the floor. They exchange chops. Ooh, I loved this chop exchange. It was so good. They have a double clothesline spot. At one point, we see Emi Sakura hit her with a backbreaker. Chris Statlander gets her with a discus lariat following that. And she hits her Wednesday Night Fever, gets the win. But this, to me, felt like the first time since Chris Statlander won that TBS championship that I actually cared about something that they had her do on the programming. Because when Chris Statlander won, and she defeated Jade. I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like, I love Chris. This is perfect. This is great. And then it kind of felt like everything that happened afterwards didn't really matter. And yeah. So this was the first match where I can come out here and genuinely say, like, damn, I really enjoyed what they did here. And but the only thing that bums me out, though, about this is that I don't trust that we're going to see this every week.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part, but we're not going to think about that. We're just going to talk about what happened right here. And this honestly might have been my match of the night because these women came to fight. Emi Sakura had a point to prove. They didn't put her on this big show. You see that video that she posted, Denise, of being like, never again. It's a video of her at All In while We Will Rock You's playing, and she's like crying in the crowd because she's like, I don't know, upset. There's all these emotions, but she posted it right before the match to be like, yo, y'all are not going to forget about me again. And then she comes out and has this match with Stat. I agree with what you're saying, Denise. The big every week on Grapsody before when Stat was injured, when we would talk about Jade, somebody would be like, can't wait till Chris Statlander comes back and beats her. Can't wait till Stat comes back. Like every single week, that's all people were talking about. And then she comes back, she gets the big pop, and she wins. But then after that, it was like, well, what's happening here? It's Chris Statlander. Everybody wanted her back, and it didn't feel like that they were matching up to what the hype was. And it's Chris Statlander. She's a great wrestler, and she's had some really good matches. But I thought tonight was like, put this woman on TV because this is what you're going to get. And her and Emmy just beat each other up. The chop exchanges were amazing. Suplexes were crazy. They both had insane put us on at this hour energy, showing you, Tony Khan, that it's our time. Loved it.
I agree. And I just hope that it feels, here's the thing. It always feels really good when AEW lets the women have a good match and have them have a good match. Inside my head, I'm like, why can't we keep this going?
It
feels good. Let's do it every week, man. Mm-hmm. And so I really do hope that they continue to do something like this. But of course, you know, give Chris Statlander an actual story. You don't want to just see continuous open challenges. Like, those are fine, right? Those are fine because you get nice matches and all of that. I'm not going to complain when we get good in-ring work. But I also want to see some sort of story with Chris Statlander because you obviously can't do the same thing you did with Jade. She did her whole streak thing and it worked very nicely for her. But you got to do something different. You got to switch it up because right now that TBS championship does not feel like, if you think the TBS championship, if you ask any AEW fan, what do you think about when you think of the TBS championship? I can pretty much guarantee everyone's going to say Jade Cargill and Jade Cargill streak. They haven't given Chris Statlander an opportunity yet to make her own mark, her own, you know, to make her own mark with the actual championship. So that's definitely something that I would like to see moving forward. So this was a good match. I'm not going to complain because when we get a good match, I'm going to take it. Laron Ford sends in a super chat saying, I loved the women's match tonight, but I do wish it was longer though. Oh, they could have totally gone a little bit longer for sure.
Mm-hmm. Like someone was saying earlier about the MJF and Samoa Joe thing, they probably could have cut off like 4 or 5 minutes off the first half of that, and it actually would have been a stronger promo, and they could have gave those 4 or 5 minutes to the women.
Probably, but you know they're not going to do that. Like, no, that's not going to happen, you know? All right, so we got a couple more super chats here that I want to read. This one is from Yes Boy, who says, Denise, have you ever had someone like Roddy that wanted to be your friends, wanted to be in your friend circle, but you didn't know how to break it to them that they weren't cool enough? It's not about not being cool enough.
No.
Just don't be a creep.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you're like fair and on the line and not doing anything behind our backs, you can have at it. Do whatever you need to do. It's not about being cool enough.
Yeah, because I wouldn't say that. I don't know. Do you feel cool, Reg? I don't feel that cool.
I feel cool. You have to think you're cool, Denise. Nobody's going to think you're cool if you don't think you're cool. So you have to think you're cool. I definitely think I'm cool.
Okay, I think I'm cool too. Okay, exactly. That's the mentality we gotta have. That's the mentality we gotta have. All right, thank you so much to Yes Boy. We got the loaded Chris Ludeck here. He says, I love the Joe MJF segment. I like when angles bring in elements of real life to help enhance it. That's definitely something we've seen throughout all of MJF's promos for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at that. Reg, if someone tells you that they live in Irvine, what's the first thing you think of them?
Irvine, California?
Yeah, Irvine, California.
The Valley? I don't know.
Oh, because Chris Ludeck is from Irvine. And the first thing I said is, you're loaded. You're loaded because ain't no one living in Irvine. They're money? Not loaded.
You a big baller?
So that's why we're calling Chris Ledeck now the loaded Chris Ledeck.
All right. Big ballin'.
We're running with it. All right. Let's get to it. Let's get into a match that a lot of people seem to really enjoy. It was an entertaining match, but the crowd loved this even more. It was Les Sex Gods, Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho against Aussie Open. Reg, based on your reaction, you didn't seem as crazy about this. Because look, I'll be real with you. There were some great moments during this. There were some good moments. But I think the crowd made this match more than what it was.
Yes. It was like a big spectacle, but like the core of it was like, yeah, okay. They're just kind of dragging along this Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara thing. Chris Jericho might need to take a little extended break. I love Chris Jericho. I think he's one of the greatest of all time, but like, it just feels like, oh, here's Chris Jericho again. And it's like, he shouldn't be in that position. Like, we have to miss him for a while. And he's just been constantly here, always here. And they're doing this angle that's still going on. They either need to finish it up or like give Chris Jericho a vacation for real.
Right. I get you with this one. Like, here's the thing. Like, the match itself, I thought, like I said, there was some good moments that I enjoyed from it. A lot of it, like, you know, Sammy was going off and, you know, doing his high spots that he normally does. Kyle Fletcher was freaking awesome in this as well. Like, I really love Kyle Fletcher. But so towards the end, we do see Les Sex Gods get the victory. But there was a little bit of a misunderstanding by accident where Chris Jericho was aiming to hit Kyle Fletcher, but Kyle Fletcher moves out of the way. Sammy Guevara was on the ring apron. So then Jericho bumps into Sammy Guevara and throws him out into the floor. And Sammy Guevara ends up thinking that he did that on purpose. And so they end up kind of having this like argument, and Sammy Guevara walks off, and Chris Jericho's just like, we said this last week, Reg. They're the toxic couple that they just are. Won't break up.
They won't quit. And it's like they keep complaining to their friends, and their friends keep saying, break up, you guys. And they keep saying, we're going to try it. We're going to keep trying it. Their friends keep saying, break up, you guys. And they keep trying it. They're going to keep trying it, Denise.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was fun. But again, with the Chris Jericho stuff, there's only so much to say that we haven't already said at each and every single week.
And he hasn't furthered it since the first time we said it.
Do we even know where this is going?
Same place. I have no idea.
Like, I need to get, like, the only thing that's going to make this, what would make me happy? What would I want to see as a viewer? I want to see Sammy Guevara and Chris Jericho come to the point where they both hate each other so freaking much that they can't even look at each other.
Right.
That would be the end game for me.
And then they fight.
Yeah, and obviously they have a match. They have some sort of match.
I don't know what's going on now. If it's them winning the belts, the tag team belts, I'm out of here. Take me home.
Well, that's what they want, right? That's what they said last week, that they want to win the tag team belts.
I don't even want to see them get a title shot. Like, why do you guys deserve a title shot?
Well, they got to win here today, so that's making it seem like they're headed that direction. You know, now that I think about it, you know that whenever they decide to end this whole thing with MJF and freaking Adam Cole, I think they're setting it up for Jericho Sammy to be up next.
That's the most annoying thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Or else why would they be doing this? Unless we're getting into finally a full-on, full-fledged breakup here.
I hope so. I hope this is what this is leading to. I think Chris Jericho's going to try to get a match with FTR. You know how he get down.
Ooh. All right. So you're saying they're going for the AEW tag team titles then, not just
Chris
the ring.
Jericho.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see what we got here. Crazy 101 sends in a super chat saying, I'm over Sammy and Jericho, to be honest. Let Sammy go. Sammy's looked bad in this now. Because remember that one day when the whole entire Jazz was like, we're done with you, Chris Jericho. And you mentioned this. You mentioned even his wife, his pregnant wife, stood up to Chris Jericho and told him that she was done with him. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't do it.
Still there. He's still there like a little lapdog. He's trying to act like he's going to go. Like, he can't try to act like Chris Jericho. Maybe he is like they tell him, but he's still there. He hasn't left.
No, he thinks he can change him. Moving on from this, we got a freaking phenomenal promo from Ricky Starks. This was a pre-tape, of course, and this is coming off of this match that he had with Bryan Danielson, the strap match, and this was match of the night for All Out, Reg. I was so freaking thrilled with this match. This was a star-making performance for Ricky Starks. Now, a lot of people can argue he was already a star, but nah, this really set him off, skyrocketed him into a whole other conversation here, a whole other category. Ricky Starks leveled up here. And he basically did this promo, and one of the things that he said, he had this really great line where he says, "Don't give me a piece of bread and say that I have been fed. I want a full course meal." Mm-hmm. Basically saying he wants his time, he wants his opportunity, and he wants it now because he knows he's getting to that peak of the mountain. What did you make of this promo coming off of that strap match?
Perfect. He was talking about bread and full course meal because this man was cooking out here, I tell you. Incredible promo. I mean, the match of Bryan Danielson is like, I know like Ricky Starks was the star before this, and I'm sure he's like, I didn't want to get my ass beat by Bryan Danielson to earn this, but yo. What a performance. And then to do that promo after this, Ricky Starks is, he needs something. He needs a big win because he didn't beat Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson beat his ass. He needs a big win because after all of his losses, he always capitalizes off it. So I think he needs to be rewarded for it. But this promo was incredible. His back looked disgusting, and I hope that he's feeling okay.
Yeah, dude, honestly, I think you're right, by the way, where he needs this big win. Of course, with this one here, it was one of those things where, damn, Bryan Danielson gave him the rub completely. And even all the things that Bryan Danielson said afterwards during that media scrum, where he basically like broke the fourth wall and said that Ricky Starks carried him in this match in that he didn't actually throw a strike. And
let's relax, Bryan. Bryan, let's relax, brother.
But he
Nobody cares Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson could be asleep and you're going to have a great match. And they're like, wake up, dude. Actually, don't wake up. You could be weakened at Bernie's and we're going to have a five-star classic. Relax, brother. I get it. I understand what you're saying, but yo, you're Bryan Danielson. Come on.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But he put the man over, man. He really freaking did. And if I'm Ricky Starks right now, I'm flying high. And here's the thing, too, is that I feel like Ricky Starks has the potential of coming up and matching MJF.
Agreed.
When it comes to like that very top spot, because when people say like, oh, who's one of the most important people in you know, AEW, a lot of people, MJF, because he's the freaking star, right? I think Ricky Starks could get to that level.
Yeah, and you know what AEW fans love, Denise, is they love people from the beginning, and we've seen Ricky Starks' journey for a long time. And the reason that I agree is because of just what we've seen tonight. He's so great on the mic. Like, he's really good at the matches. And I think, like, that is ultimately he's going to get a big victory. And I think ultimately he'll be the AEW world champion. But then every time he talks, it's just like, all right, I really get it. This guy's a big star. And it's Ricky Starks' time, honestly.
You know what I see in Ricky Starks? And I'm not just talking like, I'm talking from a like real human standpoint, he seems like the kind of person that realizes, how do I explain this? I'm trying to think of the right wording for this, but you know how there's people that are, how do I say this? Like, they're naturally gifted, or they just get handed things, or, you know, sometimes things are a little bit easier for people, right? Mm-hmm. Ricky Starks knows that's not the case. Like, he has to work for TV time. And we know this. You want to know how we know this? Because how long didn't we go without even getting Ricky Starks on TV? And he had already been cleared from his whole neck situation, but they weren't even putting him on TV for like the longest time. And it was almost like right place at the right time type of thing. And then, you know, they finally kept it going, kept bringing him on TV and kept doing stuff. And basically with whatever time he had, he made the most of it. And so Ricky Starks kind of seems like that person to me where like he realizes he can lose that spot at any point and actually has to put in the freaking work to maintain his spot and continue growing, and realizing that this isn't just, oh, well, let me lay back and wait for the boss to decide when it's my turn. No, I'm going to prove that it's my turn and that I'm your guy. Because right now you can pinpoint, oh, this is the guy Tony Khan should be pushing. This is the guy Tony Khan should be putting his focus on. This is the guy. And I think Ricky Starks realizes that and is kind of fighting to be like, I'm that guy.
Mm-hmm. Ricky Starks, yeah, that's honestly exactly what it is. His promos are real. Like, you know, you hear a lot of people that kind of like, they talk and it feels like a character, or like, even if they're great, it kind of feels like they're telling a story or type things. No, Ricky Starks is like, I'm fighting and I'm clawing every single day to become the top guy because nobody wants me to become the top guy. So I have to prove to them every single time that I am a top guy. And I think that's what's going to make the journey even better. And that's why that when he does execute and become the top guy, the fans are going to love it even more.
I think so too, man. I think so too. All right, we got a couple of super chats here. This one is from John Deller, who says, why would AEW bring in CJ Perry when they don't even use their women's talent? Well, Tony Khan said that this is actually just a, like, this is a temporary thing. Like, this is a see how it goes type of thing. Like, I don't think he said, like, she's not actually signed. She's just there to work this program. And I guess when it's done, it's done.
What did you think of that? What did it say on the Titantron? Hot and flexible?
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. She's I don't know, hot and flexible?
Why did it say that?
I mean, I wouldn't argue CJ Perry. She's great. She looks phenomenal, man.
She is hot and flexible. Looking. I do agree. But why are you telling us this?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't even have a defense for that at all, but it was kind of funny though. It was kind of funny. So I guess we'll see where this whole story is going with her and Miro and what they decide to do there. Do you have interest in this? Were you excited to see her back? Did you care?
I didn't not care, but I didn't necessarily care. I was so hyped after the match that you could have brought out anything at that moment and I would have been happy about it because the match was amazing. So it like, I wasn't for or against it, honestly.
Yeah, that's true. I get it. It did feel like one of those things where people were expecting CJ Perry for such a long time and it's like, oh, yeah. It finally happened. Cool. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Crazy 101 sends in a super chat saying, crazy how we are getting Swerve versus Adam Page, but could never get Swerve versus Keith Lee. Also, what are two dream matches you would want to see for Wrestle Dream? I don't care as long as I don't know if I have two like dream matches, but I definitely hope that we get Will Ospreay on the card. That's for sure.
I don't know if this is a joke, Crazy 101, but I just want to say it out into the lexicon of the universe. Get over it, everybody. Swerve and Keith Lee, it's over. Forget about it. We're not revisiting it. However it ended, it's how it's going to end. This isn't on
you. How did it end? I don't even remember.
This isn't on you, Crazy 101, because people keep saying this. Somebody keeps saying this. It's over. I swear. Please listen to me. It's over. All the way over. It's not being rehashed. They're not going to have a big match where they're like, let's blow this off. It's done forever. I'm not joking either. I'm being serious. It's over. O-V-E-R. They're not rehashing. It's not coming back. Please, everybody, I just want, for the sake of you guys, just forget it. It's not happening again. Might have been a joke, Crazy 101, but this is to the people that don't think it's a joke and keep saying, well, what about Swerve and Keith Lee? It's over. Over. Forget it, you guys. It's over. It's over. They're not going to rehash it. I'm telling you, I'm trying to help you as your therapist here.
It's not like Roderick Strong
and Adam Cole and all these. You're trying to get your girl. No, it's over. She's moved on. She got a new man. They live together in the Hamptons. They're married. They got kids. They got a big van that they put their whole family in. It's over.
I'm stunned here.
And because, as far as the dream matches, because we're moving on, because like the match is over, it's going to be
watch what. Okay, let's just say I don't know. Let's just say Tony finds out about this over Red, and he goes, "I'm gonna prove righteous."
Don't
Reg
prove me wrong. Do
and
not prove
of a sudden,
me wrong.
Next week, we're sitting here watching Keith Lee versus Swerve Strickland.
Do not prove me wrong.
What if he does it?
For spite. Don't put a match on for spite to spite me. Do not put a match on to spite me. That'd be weird.
If I were Tony Khan, I would book this match next week just to get under your skin.
Denise? Denise, we're on a team together. We're the Cali connection. Come on.
I know. But like, if I were a promoter or if I was a rich billionaire, oh, I'd be super petty. And I would come up with ways to pop myself, you know?
I mean, I guess so. You'd probably be pretty bored at moments when you're that rich. Like, there's moments where you're just like, I got everything. I didn't bought it all. Let me do something fun to entertain myself.
Like when he did Pac versus Gravity. Tell me that's not Tony Khan.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. More things like that. More things like that. Dream matches. It seems like we've gotten all of them. Like, do dream matches exist anymore, Denise? Because if there is one, somebody then already booked it.
I'm thinking.
You know what I mean? Like, every dream match we've had, like, Bryan Danielson was in, like, a million of them.
Oh, my God. I got a dream match. Swerve versus Keith Lee. I'm sorry. I had to. You know what's funny? I don't even care if this match happens. But you made such, you emphasized that it's just not going to happen, that now all I want is for that match to happen. And 2 minutes ago, I didn't
All right, you guys, this has been the California Connection. We are out of here. Have a nice night. Goodbye. Don't leave me alone, Denise.
Chris Ludeck says, is wrestling reduced to best friend segments everywhere? Sammy and Jey Uso, KOB, the jilted friend, MJF and Adam Cole, and now Jericho and Sammy.
It's so funny, Denise, because throughout history, wrestling has told us that there are no friends. Nobody's friends. And if you're the top guy, you do not have friends. And recently they've been trying to tell us that you can have friends. Is that what it, where do we land on this, Denise? Can you have friends if you're at the top? Can you be the world champion and also be a friend that's not trying to stab you in the back and take your belt?
No.
Yeah. I know.
No, he has to. He has to at some point. Like, he has to have eyes in the back of his head, right? Like, if you're.
But what if
champion,
he's a baby face, though?
Well, still? You can't be dumb, though. You should still have eyes in the back of your head and be like, yeah, this guy could betray me any minute now.
Okay. But always, forever. There's never a time where you could just, like, be freely, like, just oblivious. You're like, I'm the champ. I don't care. I have all these friends. We're cool.
No, because if you're at the very best and you're the mountaintop, everybody wants your spot.
Yeah. So
even
no
if
friends.
You're a baby face or if you're a heel.
That's not fun. Nobody. Well, I would never want to be the top guy if I couldn't have friends while I was the top guy.
Well, unless those other guys didn't want what you had.
And
you
they
can have friends,
do.
But they can't want what you have.
But then
he's gonna have to find himself a different friend. But Adam
this is
Cole
like real life. They're
want-
like, what do you have? I can't just be your friend. I want to have something of yours while I'm your friend, too. It's like, well, can't we just be buddies and go out for coffee?
Sure.
But
if you have something that I want.
No, Denise, that's not how friendship works. We're supposed to just be friends. You're supposed to be happy for me. I got a promotion at work. You're like, hey, great job. Instead of like, I'm going to take your job.
That's different, though. If you have a championship belt and I want to be the champion, then of course I'm going to come after you. But then let's say you won Employee of the Month at work, then I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna win it next month.
See? Exactly. You need to get, friendship doesn't have to be about competition. You can just be like, great job, and move on and eating waffles. But instead, you're outside training Eye of the Tiger to try to be Employee of the Month next week.
Hey, man.
Come on.
I don't know. So just, I don't know. We'll find out. But to your point, though, I do think people should have friends if they don't have championship belts.
Only if they don't have belts. This is crazy.
If you got a belt, you can't have friends. Cool.
If you don't have a belt, we can be friends.
Yes.
That's very, what's the word? Superstitious? No, that's not the word. Suspicious? No, that's not.
Suspicious. It's very sus. Very sus. I'm just saying that Adam Cole should not take a backseat to MJF because they're friends and he's the champion. If he wants the championship belt, then he should come, you know, full throttle to MJF and get his belt regardless of if they're friends.
But no, he's acting like they're friends, though. He's not acting like that he's going to stab him in the back. For the last couple of weeks, it's been under the impression that they're cool. They're kicking it. They're going to be at each other's birthday parties.
Yeah, but he still wants his belt.
I don't know.
Is that a real friend?
Is it?
No. It's not. If you're a real friend would be like, you know what? I'm not going to go after that belt. That is your belt. You're my friend and I want you to be happy.
Stop it.
You know, that's what
real friends. What's a real friend anyways?
Crazy 101 says, yeah, it was a joke, but you never know. Side eye.
No, you're true. That's right.
Thank you so much to Crazy 101 for sending in that super chat as well. All right, I'm catching up here. I don't even know. We went on a whole tangent about Friends. I don't even know what's going
on. We did.
Deontay Swainier brings us back to Keith Lee versus Swerve, says Deontay. Keith Lee versus Swerve on Collision during the week. They're in LA just for Reg Alameo. I'm playing, man. Love Swerve going off. Denise, Reg, all love for you guys.
Appreciate that, Deontay.
I mean, that could happen.
I mean, it honestly could. Now every time I'm going to be waiting for this dumb match to happen that I said it was never going to happen. Out of
spite.
You're going
to be on the edge of your seat every time.
Jeez,
okay, you know what, Reg? I'm with you. I do not think this match will happen this year.
Oh, come on. Why you got to put a stipulation on it, Denise?
Next year, possibly. This year, no.
I mean, yeah, if in like 5 years, they're like, oh, yeah. But it's not like this match that they're like, okay, it's in the calendar. We're going to build to it. No, it's over.
Yeah. So again, not this year, but maybe next year. Deontay Swainier, thank you so much for the super chat. We appreciate it. All right. So let me go ahead and continue on from here. And let's get into, by the way, Chasmosa says the word is petty, Reg. Petty.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Petty. Who said that? Someone said that in a TV show or a movie or somewhere.
I don't know. It's probably your homegirl that you love and she sings music and she has blonde hair and she plays a guitar.
I was going to say, no, she's never said petty. Yeah, she has it. I would know that.
I would know.
All right. Don Callis and Kanoshka Takeshita basically say they're going to be revealing their next target next week. Do we got any predictions?
I was trying to think about it and I don't know. I really don't know. I was like, who could it be? It's going to be a surprise to me, honestly.
John Dollar says, wait till Denise's prediction show for next year. So Reg, every year at the end of the year, Sean and I do a predictions video and I predict crazy things that are going to happen in the next year for wrestling. I'm going to put Swerve and Keith Lee on mine.
Do not. Absolutely not. Leave it.
And then the other one, just to spite you, Reg, is going to be Roman Reigns wins an Emmy.
You are a sicko. I'm leaving this podcast. This is my last time on this podcast, you guys. I get no respect. Rodney Dangerfield. I was going to say Gilbert Gottfried. I get no respect, Rodney Dangerfield, and I'm out of here.
All right, let's get into MJF because we had a hell of a confrontation here. MJF, Samoa Joe. We saw this basically kick off at All Out when Samoa Joe really made his intentions clear that he is coming for MJF's triple B. And so MJF goes out there and he starts off basically saying, you know, he acknowledges that the Grand Slam tournament is going to be happening at Grand Slam. Samoa Joe comes out and this did go a pretty lengthy time. So I'm just going to highlight some of what went down. Yeah. Joe basically calls him a kid. MJF throws some shots at him for being in an ice cream truck. And then, Samoa Joe says, the last time I had anything to do with an ice cream truck, I was too busy being the biggest star of the other company's network. And this is in correlation to a movie that Samoa Joe did where he's got like a clown mask or something and he's in a
Twisted Metal.
Yeah, Twisted Metal. He's in the ice cream truck, all of that. And then MJF starts to throw all these insults at him. He calls him Pillsbury Joe Boy. He calls him Samoa Doe. And Samoa Joe gets in his face and tells him, what is your problem? MJF tells him, you need to get in line. From here, he goes into MJF story time, which we get a whole lot of MJF story time. He recaps the whole little situation with William Regal, and he ends it off by saying, I knocked his British ass out and send him packing to NXT where he belongs. And if you play your cards right, you're next. That was pretty sick. He brings up the moment where he worked as security and Samoa Joe shoved him. And he's like, how dare you shove a 19-year-old kid who looked up to you and all of this. And then he gets in his face and tells him, I'm not a kid anymore. This boy is full grown. I'm a generational talent. I main evented the biggest wrestling pay-per-view of the year, whatever, right, of all time. And then Samoa Joe closes it off by saying, I didn't think you were a kid, Max. I thought you were a little bitch. Mm-hmm. And then these two, they fight out. And MJF hits him with a low blow, but Samoa Joe goes in and kicks his ass. And then he ends up getting, MJF ends up getting carried out. He gets carried out. And during all of this, we hear Roderick Strong come out and he starts bitching at Adam Cole. And Adam Cole's like, MJF is not doing well. And Roderick Strong's like, look at me. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's a one down here. Yep. How did you feel about Samoa Joe, MJF?
Woo, super strong stuff, Denise. The thing about MJF is he has the part that we think should be cut, because I agree with what they were saying earlier about the part about the Samoa. Like, he gets you to that point because that's how he that's just how he gets to it. But when they really got to it, I thought it was strong stuff of MJF doing like his usual stick and Samoa Joe countering him the way that only he could do it. But then them just having like a back and forth and them establishing the story that a lot of us kind of already know. We've seen the GIF very often of Samoa Joe pushing MJF from NXT. So them telling that story to get it out loud. And it's kind of another one of those. MJF has been having a lot of these like bucket list type, like before he got big, he wanted to have these matches type feuds coming into this. He's done the CM Punk thing. He's in the Adam Cole thing. And I feels like Samoa Joe's another one of those matches. So I thought this was super strong stuff from both sides. MJF has been cooking regardless for a long time on the mic, but Samoa Joe this year has been doing exceptionally well as the Ring of Honor television champion and everything he's doing. And I thought he looked super strong here on the mic.
Yeah. And when you're in there going toe to toe with Samoa Joe on the microphone, like there was a moment where MJF was like really hyped up. And I'm thinking, is Samoa Joe just going to stand there and not say anything? Because there went a lot of time. There was a good period of time where MJF was just running his mouth and Samoa Joe wasn't saying anything. But then Samoa Joe hit him with that line about calling him a little bitch. And then he called him a bitch one more time. And I'm going, damn, now that's the Samoa Joe I know and love and appreciate right there. Because the last thing I wanted to see was Samoa Joe taking any sort of backseat to MJF. And so this to me, this is a feud that I'm definitely interested in simply because, you know, obviously I'm a big fan of both of these guys, but I think there's going to be really good. And here's what I want to get out of this match. I want this match to get physical. I want it to be, you know, similar to what they did with CM Punk and MJF, where you ended up in this dog collar match that was so physical, so brutal. I want to see something along those lines with Samoa Joe and MJF, only because of the dynamic of who MJF is and who Samoa Joe is. So I do want to get to the point where it gets like super freaking physical between them.
Yeah, especially coming off the backs of MJF and Adam Cole, because those matches, we kind of like just wanted to see them have like this great wrestling match where it's like back and forth, epic showdown. No, Samoa Joe and MJF needs to be blood, just dog dragging out stuff, like just especially because I think for MJF's character, kind of overcoming a big super, he hasn't had like a foe or an opponent like Samoa Joe in his run. And I think having him right there, especially with the position that he's in right now, is going to be perfect. And whatever this match is this, I guess this kind of ties it back around to the tournament. Does it make you just think that Samoa Joe going to win? Does it take away from kind of the announcement with them kind of showing you like, this is what the end of the tournament could be?
Well, let's go ahead and bring in this bracket right now and give me 1 second because it's uploading. All right, here we go. And this is the bracket that we're looking at. We'll spend some more time talking about the matches, but today we got Roderick Strong and Trent Barreto, which we kind of spoke about earlier, and Roderick Strong won that match, so he advances. And then we'll spend some time and talk about Darby Allin and Nick Wayne. We might as well talk about this right now, actually. Darby Allin, Nick Wayne, we basically end up seeing Darby get the victory here. But in this victory, though, this was a really freaking great main event, man. Yeah. I really loved the way that Darby got on the mic at one point and started telling Nick Wayne, you hit like an 18-year-old, hit me like you actually want to win this match. And then the part where he hesitated to do the coffin drop, I don't think I've ever seen him hesitate doing the coffin drop on somebody. So that was interesting. What did you think of Darby and Nick Wayne?
I know they reiterated on the commentary and everybody saying Darby said something about being him being 18. But Nick Wayne is 18 years old, you guys. I just saw him at West Coast Pro in front of 400 people legit like 4 months ago. And he's main eventing Dynamite. Like, that is just crazy. Like,
and
you
so
guys
fast.
Don't understand. It's so fast, Denise. It's already happening. Like, it might just seem like a little thing. Like, oh, he's in a main event, whatever. Like, no, this is a big deal. 18 years old, just graduated from high school months ago, you guys. And now he's in a big main event match with somebody in this story. This real story. Like, Darby Allin came up under his dad, like they came up together. And so for them to go from that to having this great match, they're doing this wild stuff. That spot where Darby does his dive and Nick just moved and Darby died on the outside. It's like, Darby, be careful, dude.
Just straight into the barricade, man. Zero F's given. And here's the thing. We see Darby do stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Yet yeah. Every single time you're like, God damn it, Darby.
Every time it's like, stop, dude. It's like, yeah. But then it's also like, no, don't. Because it's like, it's so brutal. And he just smacks the ground. But I thought that Nick Wayne worked a really smart match. Halfway through, Christian comes out and is just being a menace on the commentary table. So yeah, I thought this was really strong stuff. Nick Wayne getting this opportunity though was just like the biggest thing for me. It's just like, can't believe this kid, 18 years old, is main eventing a TV show, man. It's crazy.
It really is. And speaking of Nick Wayne, I just did an interview with him, the second interview that I've done with him. If you guys want to check that out, that is up here on the channel. A really good one too. All right, so let's look at this bracket. So we're going to be seeing, of course, Darby Allin versus Roderick Strong. That's going to be taking place at Collision. And then over on the other side, we're going to be seeing Penta versus Jay Lethal on Rampage, Samoa Joe versus Jeff Hardy on Rampage. I'm personally hoping that it's going to be Penta and Samoa Joe in the semifinals. And then I'm predicting it's going to be, is it going to be Darby and Samoa Joe, or is it going to be Roderick Strong and Samoa Joe?
I think they just did Roderick Strong, and did they do them and him and Joe on the Owen tournament, I think, very recently, which leads me to kind of believe that they either did or they're in the same bracket. So I don't.
But they've done Samoa Joe Darby two times, and they were phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah,
matches.
That's why I'm kind of under the impression that they might do it again, because this is kind of a perfect time to run it back with how the position that both of them are in, and both of them building up to a match with MJF, I think, is another thing, because you got the thing with Darby and MJF, and Samoa Joe and him are building right now. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Joe winning this whole thing, right?
D-Lara says Joe hurt Roddy's neck. So that story is still to be told, because he's still wearing the neck brace because of Samoa Joe. So I guess that actually kind of makes more sense.
So then it's probably going to be Samoa Joe, Roderick Strong then.
Yeah.
Okay, and with Samoa Joe winning the entire thing, clearly.
But two heels in the finals, do people like that? Is that good?
I don't know if people necessarily. I think it's okay. I mean, it's a tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, if you're gonna ask me what match would I rather see, it's Darby Allin, Samoa Joe.
Right.
Jamie, I'll take that match any day of the week.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know.
But definitely Samoa Joe taking this victory for sure. Yeah. It ain't gonna be Roderick Strong.
It could be Roderick Strong, actually.
Never mind. Yeah. I could be wrong. It could definitely be Roderick Strong. So,
yeah, you never know.
You never know. All right. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's what's going on with the actual tournament. All right. Let's go ahead and get into we got two more topics to get into. Before we go, just a friendly reminder, guys, that this week I will be back here on Friday night. Finally back once again to chat about Friday night SmackDown. So if you guys want to hang out for that, I will be here on Friday. All right, now let's go ahead and get into a quick backstage segment that we got with Toni Storm and Renee Paquette. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. We've been loving what they've been doing with Toni Storm and this very diva-ish character that she's been doing. But this time she officially has, I think, a slogan now, because when she closed this out, she tells Renee, you know what they say, chin up, teats out, and watch for the shoe.
Perfect.
And then she throws her the shoe. And Renee's standing there like, did this girl just touch my tits? Yep, she totally did.
On national TV. Yeah, everybody saw it on cable.
This was freaking great. They need to put this on like, you know how people have the live, laugh, love frame?
Yeah.
They need to do like the chin up, tits out, and watch for the shoe frame.
Yeah, no. Toni Storm is destroying it. So Denise, that off the backs of this, they announced that they're going to have the match next week.
Yes.
The eliminator match with Toni Storm, Britt Baker, Nyla Rose, and Hikaru Shida. What do you think? Who do you got? What's going on here?
Shit. So I'm looking at this graphic and I'm a little bit torn here, because whoever wins this goes up against Saraya at Grand Slam. So it's going to be a big moment. Mm-hmm. Shida would be awesome because, you know, she was just the last champion.
Correct.
And then Britt Baker, that would be interesting as well. I really like Nyla Rose, but I don't know if it should be Nyla Rose. Because here's the thing. I'm going to be honest. I think whoever faces Saraya is winning.
Do you think it should have been different contenders? Because we saw three of these women just in the match.
Same thing with Toni Storm. Same thing with Toni Storm. Exactly. So I feel like this one could kind of go any direction.
I guess I'd like to see Shida win this and win the championship back. If they were just going to, I guess we passed it. I'm not mad at them doing the moment at All In with Saraya, but yeah, I think if anybody from these, this set of women, I think that Hikaru Shida would be my favorite to win, but Toni Storm is destroying it right now. And I think, you know, if she was the champion, I could see it, but also she doesn't need the championship for what she's doing.
No, the character is better with her basically being in turmoil.
Exactly. Right.
So if you're considering the options, I think the best option is definitely Shida.
Yeah. I think they should have mixed it up maybe with these.
Who else would they add? Who else is there to add?
I don't know.
That's not injured or not even featured on the show. No one's going to buy that Sky Blue's winning. She's still not that at that level yet. I mean, she's great. Yeah. She's awesome, but she's not at that level yet.
I know.
Are the only options.
I mean, Willow Nightingale, Athena. True. I could do it. But whatever.
But I guess, and even so, like, I think I see more of like Athena and Willow. Even though Willow's done some Dynamite appearances, I see them more as like Ring of Honor people.
Wow.
Because they're not really on Dynamite.
Whoa.
When's the last time we got Athena on Dynamite, Reg?
You telling me she should be on here. This could have been a possible moment right here.
Because if they did, then the women's division would be better. Mm. Oh, shit. You know who I forgot about? Taya.
Oh, yeah. Where's Taya?
I don't know.
She seemed that she was off. She was on every week for a couple of weeks there, and now she hasn't been.
No. So there you go. So they could have probably put Athena, Willow, Taya. No, that would be too many people that...
none of them could lose because nobody thinks that anybody could lose anymore. The worst trend in wrestling right now
is
people thinking that no one should ever lose matches. Wrestling is about wins and losses, and everyone is so hung up. And as soon as you announce a match, this guy can't afford to lose a match. Neither can this guy. So Tony Khan's going to book a fucking bullshit double count out finish, and then people are going to complain about it. People have to lose matches. That's why Roman Reigns is at 5,900 days, because nobody thinks anybody should lose. Nobody thinks they should even be trying to lose. We've lost out on a million matches because not only do you guys think like that, wrestlers are starting to think like that. Oh, no, I'm not going to take the match because I shouldn't be losing.
Okay. And there's three examples of how losses have helped people just in one show alone.
Tell them, Denise.
Hobbs lost to Miro.
Yep.
But tell me that meat stuff isn't freaking going over like
over
crazy.
As Rover now.
Orange
way
Cassidy
better position.
In the main event, and the biggest one of all, Ricky Starks.
Boom. All three of them lost matches this time, and they are at higher positions off of the loss. But people don't understand that because we get so hung up on this. Wins and losses are stopping. So we have to get that out of our vocabulary because it's ruining. We can't even get to dream matches because people are like, well, who's going to lose between fucking Okada and Bryan Danielson? And then we get hung up on that and we never get to the match because we're just stuck fantasy booking.
There you go.
It fires me up, you guys. It's my number one thing. I could talk for 5 hours about how it destroys because every time they announce a match, people are already talking about swerving Hangman, which we're going to get here soon. Who's going to lose? I'm like, we are if you don't shut up.
Laron Ford sends in a super chat saying, so the men get a tournament and the women get an eliminator match. Shaking my head. Tony's winning and Nyla will take the loss. I wish we had different women here. That's not necessarily the thing. They're not necessarily having different women, but I would say just having different booking for the women. Because look at Tony. Look at this character that she's got now. It's working for her. Yep. Britt, I think if they give her a couple of some hot promos, some hot feuds, she can get back up there. We've talked about that a million times. Shida, they just need to let her be a dominant competitor.
And look, Denise, how much time do they give Toni Storm? Like 45 seconds? And she like is the most over woman with that 45 seconds. Like all they need is time. Some of them need less than a minute to do their thing. So we see it right here.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you so much to Laron Ford for sending that in. And this is from Matt James, who says, if rumors are true, whoever sets up, whoever wins sets up Thunder Rosa returning at Grand Slam to build towards the dream pay-per-view.
I'm trying to see that. I'm ready for Thunder Rosa to come back already.
Do you think if Thunder Rosa comes back, she's instantly winning the title? Since we didn't actually get to see her have a full go at it.
Instantly winning the title. That's...
Or should she go the Cody route and have some adversity?
No. I like option A. I think she should win. If not, like, the first, you know, like, pretty soon. Because I think, one, you don't want to, if this injury, we don't know how these injuries are. If we got her now, put the belt on her. Let's see how we could do with her as champion, like, immediately.
Yeah, because I, for some reason, I'm just not expecting Saraya to be a champion for that long.
I wouldn't think
this really felt like just a moment to have at Wembley because you could. Yeah. And that's really what this feels like. So I feel like whoever, God, I feel like I said this last time too, though. Remember I said this last time when Sheeta won? I'm like, oh, it's the start of a new era.
Yeah.
I could go back and slap myself. Bitch, shut up. It's been
optimistic, Denise. That's okay. I can't be mad at that. You're just trying to see the bright other side. I'm not mad at it.
Bro, I screwed myself and everything's the same.
I know.
Meet Normus. Speaking of meat, Meet Normus sends in a super chat saying, Sup Denise and Reg, been doing the Daniel Garcia dance since the meat chance in Chicago. This dynamite felt like the salad course for me. Meat forever.
I know that Meat probably just put in his order today as AEW just released a new shirt, M-E-A-T. On their website. So they even put out a shirt for you, Meat Normus.
Yeah, let's go for it. I need to get myself that Meat t-shirt.
See, better than the neck one.
I can't get the neck strong shirt.
Meat, I think, will go over better than neck will.
No, not really, if you think about it. People are going to be like, why is that girl wearing a meat shirt? Does she want meat?
Okay, all right.
Is she anti-vegetarian?
No, that's the first thing. They're going to be like, does she want meat? Yeah, you're right.
Exactly. Jesus exactly. Christ. There's no winning. They need to make. There's no winning for us ladies. We
you
can't win.
That's why she's wearing the gangbanger white t-shirt today. No design on it. She's like, I'm from LA. She probably has Nike Cortezes on the bottom too because she's gangbanging.
Oh my gosh.
You got Nike Cortezes on?
No, I don't even know what Nike Cortezes are. But I think this is an Adidas shirt.
You grew up in LA.
I'm going to be honest with you. This is my grandpa's shirt. Did I not tell you this before we went on the air?
No, you didn't.
So the reason why I have a bunch of white t-shirts, and I was telling you when we went on the air that I felt weird kind of wearing a white t-shirt because I've never really worn just a white t-shirt.
In LA, that's surprising you've never really worn
Right. And so, I'm sorry, I'm trying to look at the brand name for it. My grandpa bought like a pack of white t-shirts, right? Because he wears them underneath his button-up. And for some reason, he said the fit, I forgot what it is that he didn't like about these shirts. So he decided that he wasn't going to wear them. And so he had this whole pack of shirts and he's like, oh, Denise, do you want them? And I'm like, sure, I'll take them. So I have like 6 white t-shirts.
So long, though. They've just been sitting there.
Yeah. And so I finally decided to wear them. But yeah, this is my grandpa's t-shirt.
Oh, shout out to your grandpa.
Meet Normus, thank you so much for the super chat as well. We got another one here from Papa Bengals who says, TK will just end up giving out participation trophies. You think?
I don't know. Possibly.
All right. Papa Bengals, thank you so much for the super chat. We appreciate it, man. Mike T90K says, am I the only one who wants Anna Jay as a champion? She has it and is improving every match I see her. I am on the Anna Jay fan club. I like Anna Jay a whole lot, but I feel like she mostly has matches on Rampage. Does she not?
Yeah.
And I've been missing a lot of Rampage.
Of course. You've never even watched Rampage. You've never seen it and you don't care. But yeah, another one of those homegrown stars, so I could see it, but I don't know if she, like, the next champion would be Anna Jay. She still needs a little bit of seasoning, I think.
And we got one from Furthausen who says, just got my schedule switched to have October 1st off so I can attend Wrestle Dream. I'm planning on being there. Are you going to go?
To Seattle. I was thinking about heading to Seattle. I was looking at some little flights today.
You should.
I'm like, not that expensive. I might have to pull up.
Do it. Yeah, I was going to say, you're not too far, man. You should definitely go.
Right.
All right, we got one from Amir F who says, with Sheeta going back to Japan later this month, I feel like Britt or Tony is winning.
Oh, that's a good point. Good point.
I didn't know that, so now I'm a little bit depressed.
But we have two belts. I could see them taking letting Sheeta take that belt over there and defend it until she comes back. So, I mean, it's not over.
All right. Amira, thank you so much for the super chat as well. All right. So let's go ahead and get into something that I've been very excited to talk about, and that is Hangman, Adam Page, and Swerve Strickland. And we were talking about how a lot of people had some really great promos today, but I think Swerve definitely won this one. And that's saying a lot because he had some tough competition. We mentioned MJF, Samoa Joe, Ricky Starks, but I think this one here, there was a lot. So Hangman Adam Page is out there and he's talking with Tony Schiavone in the ring and he's talking about how he won the over the budget battle royal. And so he won $50,000 for charity and he gave it to education. We know that he was formerly a teacher. And then, by the way, he did say a nice little quote basically saying that thank you to teachers. You're underfunded, you're underpaid, and you're underappreciated. So I wanted to make sure to reiterate that because, my mom is a teacher. So I definitely feel very passionate when it comes to education and when it comes to supporting teachers and just everybody in the education field. So anyways, thank you so much to Hangman Adam Page for saying that. Now, Swerve Strickland comes out and oh boy, he goes to town here. I'm going to hit some of the lines that he said. First of all, he had me laughing because he's like, you know, being in a coffin for almost 2 weeks gets you a little bit of clarity. You get some perspective on things. Mm. I love that he sold that he's been in a coffin because he
kind of looked like it too, Denise. Like you could see in his face, like he had not been. Like, he's not well. Like, he's been in a coffin for 2 weeks.
That was freaking great. And then he, like, deep dives into Hangman Page, man, and, like, lets him have it. He tells him that he's ashamed of him because he was on the pre-show and not on the main card. He tells him that he was a hand-picked guy. He was a franchise player, that he was an AEW world champion. However, he's made some observations, and the observations that he has made is that he doesn't seem like he wants it anymore. He points out that in the last year, he hasn't even gotten new gear. And then he says, you got a whole new contract extension. You've been eating good and it shows. Ooh. And he
pointed to his belly.
Yeah, he did. Then he tells him that he took a backseat to the Elite and that he's gotten comfortable. And then he tells them, if I would have gotten the exact same opportunities that you've gotten a year ago, by now I would have been the first Black AEW world champion. And tells them that he's going to walk him like a dog, gets in his face, in his ear, and says, I'm coming for that spot that you act like you don't even want. Hangman Page walks out and Swerve throws a personal shot directed at his family and says, what a shame that your family basically has to watch you walk out of your responsibilities again. Yeesh. And then they start fighting it out. Boy, I hope that I never get roasted this way because damn, this was good. What'd you make of it?
I mean, of course, what do you guys think I'm going to make of this? It's Swerve, my guy. Absolutely. Cooking on the mic. I loved everything about this, Denise. First, Adam Page coming out, giving it up to the teachers who need to be given up to. I don't understand how they're still so underpaid. It just doesn't make sense. Another topic for another day, but him doing that was really great. And then Swerve coming out and getting the opportunity to kind of say what we've all been thinking. Like, Swerve, every time that we talk about people getting opportunities and having these moments, we are one first, like, well, it was great. Everything that happened with Adam Page up to this moment was great, but like, next up is Swerve, I think. Anytime we talk about what's happening, we're like, Swerve, Swerve, Swerve. So Swerve to come out here, absolutely cook on the mic, in here with Adam Page was the perfect timing, perfect moment. I thought everything that he said was great. I thought that it was great on his character. He was talking wild about the Chicago youth in part of it. I was like, hold on a minute, Swerve, we're talking crazy. But he's a villain. He's supposed to. It fits along well. And Denise, if this is leading to a one-on-one Hangman Adam Page and Swerve Strickland match, hey yo, that's about to go crazy. So yeah, I thought it was phenomenal. I thought that Adam Page kind of just taking a back seat and letting Swerve have the moment, but also still reacting and still being present, Great, great stuff.
Yeah, I thought this was freaking great, man. And I'm pretty sure this is going to lead to that at some point. But here's the thing, though. I feel like with this story, you can go so many different directions and you can incorporate all of these layers and really, really set it up for a good run here. And keep in mind, we're heading out to L.A. Well, AEW's heading out to L.A. They're heading out to Seattle. So I'm expecting something big there, too.
Swerve and Hangman in Seattle is gigantic.
Dude, if they do it for that show, holy smokes.
That's big. Yeah. Yeah.
That's real big. Cause like given, you know, he's from there, the history, and then to be at an AEW show in Seattle in a match against Hangman Adam Page. Are you kidding me? That's big time.
That's crazy. If that's what they're going for, it seems like we could be leading to that. Yo, and even if like if we don't and they do it before at Grand Slam, say, that's even big because you know how giant the Grand Slam show is. So yeah.
Dang.
Shadow. So
here, this is huge too, because here's the thing, like Swerve, since he's been in AEW, he's always been the guy that's had great matches, right? Whether it's with Darby or whoever else. I mean, he had so many matches with Darby at this point, like so many, I lost count, right? But he always has like these great interactions, or even with Orange Cassidy, for example. He's always been the guy that has good matches, but oh, here we go. We were talking about losses. How many losses didn't he have to take in some of these matches? Because he was kind of the guy that was putting over the other guy. The other guy was moving on to something else. So Swerve had to take the loss, but he was winning by having these good matches. So that's something to take note of. But it still felt like there wasn't something that was yet specifically really meant to elevate Swerve in particular. This feels like the first feud, or one of the first feuds that feels like it's meant to elevate Swerve, because he's in there with Hangman Adam Page.
Yes, that's exactly what it felt like. Even just like with the entrance of like, you know how it kind of feels in that moment, Denise, where like Hangman Page is in, when you hear the music and then you kind of put it together, you're like, oh, these two guys could go together. That moment felt like elevation in it just for Swerve. Is like, well, Hangman Page is a top guy. He does have that status. He does have that. And if Swerve's up there with him too, we lit.
Exactly. This was good stuff, man. I'm really excited about the direction that they're heading in. Let's see what you, the people, are saying here. We got a brand new member, by the way, to the DWO, Tim Nichols. Welcome, Tim. Thank you so much for becoming a member. If you do become a member of the YouTube channel, there are about like 30 exclusive videos that are just for members. So if you want to check those out, they're now open to you. So thank you so much to Tim. We got a super chat here from Christopher Marino, who says, Swerve versus Hangman. Here's all my money. Yes, please. This feud can be awesome. Once again, here's my money. For real, honestly.
Right.
Christopher Marino, thank you so much for the super chat as well. Meet Norma says, question for Reg. I've heard rent is expensive in Cali. How are the weed prices? I love how he directed this question at you.
I mean, you're not going to answer it, I think,
you
Denise.
Never know. I can know the weed prices.
No, you can't. Stop it, Denise. Get out of here.
Maybe coming out that way this fall. Also, where's Keith Lee at? Okay, I'm gonna throw a shot of a prediction here and what weed prices might be. How much would weed cost? Okay, I'm gonna go with like, you get a
how
pound
much?
For 50 no. bucks.
What?
Where am I at? A pound for 50 bucks. That's my prediction.
Way off. So far off. Like, if you could, like, yeah, I mean, direct me to that place. A pound for $50 is like...
A pound for 300.
I don't even know if we could be talking about this right now on this show, but weed prices, it depends on where you're going to be at, and it depends on how much you want. Nobody's coming to get a pound, Denise. I'll just say that.
Was a pound too much? Too little?
No, it's a lot. I mean, if you're going to be...
I've never smoked weed, okay?
Obviously.
I am as clean as a sheet.
Not going to get me on record even talking about it. I don't know how much it is. I don't smoke. I'm a nice, clean, young Christian boy.
MD says a pound for 50. I wish
a pound for 50 gonna be some corn is hella funny.
Mr. Parker says $50 is crazy, straight grass for sure. Okay, so from the sounds of this, my price was too low.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just I don't know what the
a
market
pound of
like.
Weed is like a bit, you know, it's a lot of weed.
All right, so we're not getting it for $50. All right, Papa funny. Bangles also became a DWO member. Dude, welcome, Papa Bangles. Thank you so much for becoming a YouTube member and giving it a try. I appreciate you a whole lot. Hope you enjoy yourself on here. Mike T90K says, I would pay money to see Denise smoke weed. Oh, brother, ain't ever going to happen.
It ain't ever going to happen.
I am completely drug-free. I'm straight edge.
Like Phil.
I really am Hollywood Pepsi.
Mm-hmm,
yep. Hollywood Pepsi Denise. Mm-hmm, Mike T90K, thank you so much for the super chat. Alrighty, guys. Someone says that would be around $7,000. I have no idea. I'll go ask around. I'll find out and I'll come back with a better prediction next time.
I'll tell you, but not on this show.
Oh man.
I'm about to incriminate me, you guys. There's weed stores. Go to them and buy it, okay?
Oh, God. All right. That is our show, everyone. We want to thank you so much. Before we go, we got another super chat here. Nell D says, don't think you'll get a pound of lettuce for $50.
Straight up. Yeah, that's real. With these prices.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if he was talking about lettuce.
No,
lettuce.
He's talking about like actual lettuce.
Oh, okay. So, okay, I get the joke now. I wasn't sure if we were like substituting lettuce for something else.
Actual lettuce.
Oh boy. All right, now D, thank you so much for the super chat. I wonder how much I can get for $1.99. I'm gonna go find out. I'm gonna go ask around.
Don't go ask around, Denise. Absolutely not. We're leaving it here and we're moving on. You do not need to know, and you especially don't need to go and ask around. Who are you going to ask?
I'll find people to ask. Oh, you know where I know where I, you know, I know where to go and ask. No. Venice Boulevard, because I see all the shops there. They're all there. Venice.
But they're going to rip you off because they think everybody's a tourist.
Yeah, that's true.
You're not going to get the real prices.
But that's the thing. I wouldn't know if I was getting ripped off. How would I even know? I would have no idea. I'd be like, oh, these are the prices. Great.
Yeah, I mean, if you sell them $50 for a pound, they're going to laugh you all the way to the bank. Yeah, I guess like just don't, Denise. You don't need to know it. You're nice. You're just going to drink a smoothie and go to church on Sunday.
That's definitely what I'm going to do. I love how everybody's like, no, don't ask.
Don't.
I didn't know people weren't allowed to ask.
You can't even ask.
Dang.
Can't even
so
ask.
It's like a secret thing then. You
they're
going
to think Denise depends.
It.
Yeah, as soon as you start asking, they're going to be like, who are you, the ops? Like, I'm not about to be talking
but
to
you. But it's legal in California.
Yeah, that don't matter.
So I thought you could ask if it's legal.
You can ask whatever you want, but don't.
Okay. All right. All right. I don't know the rules anymore. Tim Nichols says, go ask Snoop Dogg. Hey, I did see Snoop Dogg at WrestleMania. He passed right by me. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, guys. Someone says they're going to think Denise is the feds.
I'm saying. I'm trying to help. All I'm trying to do is help.
All right, guys. Before we wrap this up, Reg, let the people know where they can find you, where they can support you, and check out some of your work.
Every Saturday, you can catch me on the Grab City podcast with Philip Lindsay. Every Wednesday, I'm here with Denise. I'm also with Mike on Indeed earlier in the day. Thursdays, I'm with Kate on the Ring of Honor post show. Tomorrow is Ask Grab City. And if you have Premiere, you can still watch StarCast streaming forever. So go and check that out.
Alrighty, guys, and you guys know where to find me here on the YouTube channel. Please check out some of the content that I posted. There are 27 new videos alone just from All In Week and All Out Week. You guys know that's how I fund myself. Check out those videos, man. They help me out a whole lot. So please go watch them. Give them a like. Check them out. Check out the interviews. There's so many good stuff. I highly recommend the videos that I love the most was my interview with Orange Cassidy. Really enjoyed that conversation. And then the AEW All In video where I interview fans at Wembley. That's my favorite video I've ever done. So check that one out too. And then, of course, if you are a YouTube member, then you can check out the vlog in London as well. But that is it here. If you haven't already, head on over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a review if you guys enjoyed the show. And we'll catch you guys here next time. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you.
Peace.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.